Welcome to Pardes Daily, where you get your daily dose of Torah with Pardes faculty. This month, Pardes is bringing Elul to you. Let's dive in.
Hello, everyone. This is Zvi Hirschfield again. I'm again recording in my home in Alon Shvut, and we find ourselves now at the very bottom of Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph 31a, and our target today is 31b, Lamed Aleph Amud Bet, again of Tractate Rosh Hashanah. We are in the fourth chapter. So glad you have joined. So last time we spoke about the scriptural proofs for the Shechina, the divine presence, in the time of the first temple as it left, the various stages of its leaving the temple and ultimately leaving the Jewish people. We now go back to the other part of the statement about the Galut of the Sanhedrin, how the Sanhedrin left its place in the temple and how it went through stages, 10 stages also, of going off into Galut. Ukenegdan galta Sanhedrin. And just like the 10 of the Shechina, so too the 10 of the Sanhedrin. Migmara, we know this from tradition, that it went as follows. Milishkata gazit lechanut. It went from the room of hewn stone inside the Temple Mount to the chanut, to the the shuk of Yerushalayim. It was right next to Har HaBayit. I guess that's where they sold animals and other needs for korbanot. Ume chanut Yerushalayim, and it went from the Chanut there into the city of Yerushalayim itself. Yerushalayim leYavne. From Yerushalayim went to Yavne. That's the famous departure of Yochanan ben Zakkai out of the city. UmiYavne leUsha. And from Yavne went to Usha. MeUsha leYavne. MeYavne leUsha. MeUsha leShfaram. Went back and forth a few times between Usha and Yavne, and ultimately then to Shfaram. UmiShfaram leBeit Sha'arim. Beit Sha'arim is where Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is buried. UmiBeit Sha'arim leTzipori. UmiTzipori leTveria. And from Beit Sha'arim to Tzipori, and Tzipori then to Tveria. The Tveria amukam mikulam. Tveria is the lowest point geographically, and I guess there's probably a message there, sort of spiritually or psychologically. That was the low point. Shenemar v'shafalt me'eretz tedaberi. From Yishayahu, right from the low of the land, you shall speak. Rabbi Elazar Omer Sheish Galut, Shinemar, Ki Heshach Yoshve Marom, Kiryan, Niskava Yashpilena, Yashpila Ad Eretz Yigena Ad Afar. Rabbi Eliezer is suggesting from this Pasuk that there are six terms of going down, and therefore he suggests there were six different Galuyot, different exiles of the Sanhedrin. And then Amar Rabbi Yochanan umisham atvin ligael, and from there you shall be redeemed. From that low point you will come up. Shenemar hinari meafar kumi shavi. Arise and awaken from the dust, and Yerushalayim will be restored. We are on to the new Mishnah on Lamed Aleph Amud Bet. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha said the following: The od zot hitkin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai shafilu rosh beitim bechol makom shelo yu edim holchin ela limakom havad. Continuing in this theme of the different enactments of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Yeshua ben Korcha reported another one, that even if the head of the beitim is somewhere else, that the Edim, the witnesses who are going to testify to the new moon, they still go to the established place of the court. Meaning, even though, as Rashi and others explained, the head of the Beit Din was the one who was most chiefly responsible for the calendar and declaring the new moon, in order not to drive the witnesses crazy, having to look for where if the head of the Beit Din took a vacation or relocated, they would always go to the Beit Vad, and either he would then come join them there, or the remaining scholars would declare the new moon in his absence. And now the Gemara is going to bring a story related to this idea of what happens when the head of the Beit Din moves around. Hahi itata d'azvenua ledina kamei d'amemar b'nahardai. There was a certain woman who was called to the court in front of Amemar in Nahardia, a town in Bavel. Azal Amemar leMechoza, velo Azla Batre. Now Amemar, in the meantime, relocated or was living in Mechoza at the time, which is outside, not near Nahardai, and she didn't go follow him there. Ktav Ticha Ilava, and they wrote a note or a letter of Cherem, of excommunication against her for refusal to appear. Amar le Rav Ashi la Meimar. Rav Ashi said to a Meimar, Vaha anan tanan. But wait, didn't we learn in the Mishnah? Afilu rosh beitin b'chol makom shlo yu edim hochin ela limkom havad. That even if the head of the beitin is somewhere else, the edim for the new moon only have to go to the place where the court is established. Meaning, why does she have to follow you? She should really only have to go to Nehardai, which is where the court, your court, sat, not have to chase you around. Amarle said, "Demhani mile linyan edu tachodesh." This is only true for the matter of testifying about the new moon. Te'im kei nimseta machshilan latid lavo. Because if you don't do that, you'll be creating a problem in the future, right? If people have to chase around and look for where the head of the Beit Din is at any given time, they'll stop coming and they won't testify to the new moon, and the calendar will get messed up. Avohacha. Eved lo ve'leish malveh. But in our case here, the borrower is a slave for the lender, meaning that when you borrow money and you don't pay it back, and you have, you know, the right of the lender to call you to court and have you sit in front of the most prominent jurist is his right as the lender. And that's one of the things you take on yourself when you borrow money, is to understand that if you don't pay it back in a timely way, you could be called to appear before the judge, and the judge might be located in an inconvenient place. But that's what happens because you're the borrower. Tanu Rabbana. Now we'll quote another Tanaitic source. Right, Kohanim may not go up to the platform and bless the people. It's talking about like the Kohanim in Shul that do Birkat Kohanim, that bless the people as the Torah instructs them. They can't go up there with sandals on. This is one of the nine takanot that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai established. The reason for this one, by the way, is that in case a strap becomes loose, they'll bend down to fix their strap, and they'll have to not bless the people, and people then suspect them of not being real Kohanim. That's our practice today, by the Kohanim do not go up to the Dukhan with shoes on. Now the Gemara continues. Sheet dahai pirka, the chada pirka kama. Six of them are mentioned now in this parak, the fourth chapter of Rosh Hashanah, and one of them is mentioned in the first chapter, right? The first chapter talks about how the Edim only have to go out in a post-destruction world to tell the people about the new month of Nisan and the new month of Tishrei. But now that would only leave eight. And the question, of course, is going to be, where are the others? Or, I'm sorry, that would leave seven, and where are the others? The Idach, another one, the Tanya, we quote a Braita, Ger Shinkayer Bismanazet, Srich Shiafrish Rova Lakina. Ama Rabbi Shimon ben Alazar, Klar Nimna Lea Rabbi Yochan Uvitla Yitne Hatakala. Meaning, we have a Braita that says a person who is converting today, even though there is no temple, has to designate as the amount of money that he or she would have spent on the korban, the sacrifice of two birds. Because the understanding is when the temple stood, the process of conversion included mila for men, circumcision, tvila in a mikvah, acceptance of mitzvot, of course, there's a whole big debate about the nature of that, but also korban, what's called hartsa'at damim. So a ger, a person who converted when the temple stood, had to bring a sacrifice. And the idea was, originally the rabbis ruled that even though there was no more temple, that the prospective convert should still separate or designate the amount of money that he or she would have spent on a minimal korban of two birds, two yonim. And that money was set aside that would stand in the place of their actual korban. However, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai did away with that because of the takala, because if they actually designated the money as being sacred, that money cannot be used for anything. And therefore, he was concerned that they would designate the money as sacred, but then that money would be used for regular things, and they would violate the prohibition of mi'ilah, of driving benefit from something that was sanctified to the temple. So he canceled that practice. So now we're up to eight. And the question is, where is number nine? The Idach, the last one, the last Takana, Plukta Rav Papa Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, is a debate between Rav Papa and Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak. Rav Papa Amar Kerem Ravai, Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak Amar Lashon Shel Zohorit. Rav Papa said it has to do with Kerem Ravai. Kerem Ravai means that the produce of the fourth year, the first 3 years are orla, right? They can't be used for anything. The first 3 years are produce from the tree. The fourth year is called Kerem Ravai. And the fourth year, that produce has to be taken. It has sanctity and has to be eaten in Jerusalem by the owner. And if the owner doesn't want to bring it to Jerusalem, then like Maaser Sheh, like the second tithe, he can be poda'ed. He can transfer the value of the Kerem Ravai onto coins and bring those coins and use the coins to buy food and drink and other things and consume that in Jerusalem. Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak said, Lashon Shel Zohorit. It refers to the strip of cloth, right? Of, I think it's a silk cloth that was used, that was attached to the korban, to the scapegoat, when it was sacrificed on Yom Kippur, really sent out and pushed off that cliff on Yom Kippur, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Rav Papa Amar, Kerem Ravai, when it comes to this issue of Kerem, referring to Kerem Ravai, says as follows. D'tanya, we learn in a braita, Kerem Ravai haya olel Yerushalayim mahalach yom l'chol tzad v'zohi truma. Elat min ha-tzafon the akrabat min hadarom lod min amarav yarden min hamizrach. What does this mean? It means that there was a ruling that Kerem Ravai, the fruits of the fourth year, one actually had to bring the fruits. You couldn't redeem them onto coins as long as you were within a day's walk of Jerusalem. And these were the boundaries. A lot, which we now associate with the city down south, and there's a lot to the north of Jerusalem, Akrabat to the south, Lod to the west, and Jordan, over the Jordan River to the east. The Amar Ula, Vitem Rabbi Bar Ula, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and Ula, and some say it was Rabbi Bar Ula, said the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Matam, what's the reason they told people they couldn't redeem their fruits but had to bring the actual fruits to Jerusalem? Kedei Later Shukei Yerushalayim Beferot. So the shuks of Jerusalem should be filled with fruit. Therefore, they didn't want people redeeming the fruit. If they were in a day's walk, they insisted they bring the actual fruit. That was the ruling. Vitanya, we learn from another braita, Kerem Ravai Hayal Rabbi Eliezer b'Mizrach Lod b'Tzad Kfar Tavi, that Rabbi Eliezer, the great sage, lived a little bit east of Lod near Kfar Tavi. Uvikesh Rabbi Eliezer lahafkiro la'aniim, and Rabbi Eliezer wanted to. He had this Kerem Ravai, and he didn't want to schlep it to Jerusalem, so he wanted to make it hefker for poor people. Rashi says then the poor people would schlep it to Jerusalem. Tosfot says then the poor people were actually allowed to redeem it because Rabbi Eliezer believed that Kerem Ravai was not mamon gavoi. It wasn't sanctified. It belonged to the owner, just with a requirement to eat in Jerusalem. So he gave it to the aniim so he wouldn't have to schlep it. Amrulo Talmidav, his students said to him, Rabbi, kvar nimnu chavarech ala v'hiti ruhu. Don't worry, because your colleagues have already voted and made it permissible, meaning they removed this obligation. Since the temple had been destroyed and the majority of the population of Jerusalem was not Jewish, they no longer required people to bring their Kerem Ravai to Jerusalem any longer. And therefore, he didn't have to give it to Anin. He could be poded. He could redeem it. Man Chavrecha, and who's the Chavrecha that made this takana? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. It wasn't Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So that is Rav Papa's source for why he believed that Kerem Ravai, the undoing of the original requirement to bring the fruits within a day's walk of the city of the Kerem Ravai, was undone by the takana of Yochanan ben Zakkai. That's the ninth takana. Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak Amar Lashon Shel Zohorit. Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak said it referred to a strip of, and here it's not silk, it's dyed wool. I apologize. It's wool that's been dyed red. Titania, we know from a braita, Barishona hayu koshrim lashon shel zorit al petach ulami bachutz. Originally, they used to tie a strip of wool dyed red to the entrance of the ulam, to the heichal, to that inner building in the temple where the menorah stood and the shulchan, the showbread was there, and then internal from that was the kodesh hakodeshim, the holy of holies. Hilbin, if it turned white after the scapegoat was removed, hayu smechin, then everyone would be joyous. Lo hilbin hayu atsevin. If it didn't turn white, they would be sad, because that was the implication that their tshuva, the repentance, the whole project of Yom Kippur did not work. They made a takana, they should tie this strip, but inside the ulam by the entrance. So people wouldn't be able to see it and wouldn't get depressed if it didn't turn white. People would still figure out a way to peek into the ulam and see if it had turned white. If it turned white, they were happy. If it didn't turn white, they were sad. So we saw this problem of mass depression going on. So they made a final takana. They would tie half of it to the rock at the top of the cliff, and the other half between the horns of the scapegoat before it was pushed off the mountain. Now, so that would be the, according to Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, that was the takana of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And now the Gemara is going to try to figure out, why did each one not say like the other? Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, my time alone, my work of Papa. Why did Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak not agree with Rav Papa that it was about Kerem Ravai? Amarlach, he said to him, Yisla Kadai Tachar Yochanan ben Zakkai, if that takana was made by Yochanan ben Zakkai, Chaverav Rabbi Eliezer Mihave, was he the chaver of Rabbi Eliezer? He wasn't a colleague. Rabbo Hava, he was his Rebbe. So when they reported in the Breita to Rabbi Eliezer, the students said, Chaver Chakvar Hitiruha, your friends or colleagues have already made this permissible. That couldn't be Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, because he was not a chaver of Rabbi Eliezer, he was a Rebbe. The Idach, and what would Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak answer to that? Kevan the Talmidim Havu Lav Orach Arul Neimer Leila Rabbe Rabacha. Because it was his students that were speaking to him, it would not be mechubad, would not be kavod to talk to their teacher about your Rav, right? Since your Rav needs to be the most mechubad person, then everyone else at most is a colleague of your Rav. The Rav Papa, my time alo amar k'Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, why did Rav Papa not agree with this idea there was this strip of cloth on Yom Kippur, like Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak? Amar lach, he would say to you, or he said to him, Yisal k'day tach Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, if you thought it was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai who made that takana, then does the dating work out? Let's take a look. Bimei Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, mi havi lashon shel zohorit, was there really a strip of cloth in the time of Yochanan ben Zakkai? V'hatanya. Kol shnotav shel Yochanan ben Zakkai mea ve'esrim shana. According to the Breit, Yochanan ben Zakkai lived to be 120. Arbim shana sakra pragmatia. The first 40 years of his life, he engaged in business. Arbim shana lamad. Then he learned for 40 years. Arbaim shana limed. Then he taught Torah for 40 years. V'tanya, arbaim shana kodem shenecharav habayit lo haya lashon shel zohorit mabin ela Ma'adin, that for the last 40 years of the temple stood, that this strip of cloth never turned white. So there would be no reason for any kind of takana because the strip never turned. Utnan, we also know, Mishachar Habayit Hidken Yochanan ben Zakkai. Yochanan ben Zakkai was active even for just a few years after the destruction of the temple. So if he was only active as a teacher for 40 years, and we know that he was active as a teacher after the destruction of the temple, then that would mean he was only active as a teacher for 36, 37 years when the temple still stood. And we know for the last 40 years of the temple, the strip of cloth was pointless because it never turned color, so no one would have made a takana about it. The Idach, how did Rav Nachum Yitzchak answer that question? Otam arba'im shana delamad tamid yoshev lifnei rabo havei. The Amar Milta, the Istaber Ta'amei, Ukvai Rabbe Bishmei. Because even when he was a student, the 40 years when he was a student, and a student in front of his teacher, he would say something really smart, his reasoning would be good, and the teacher would establish it in his name. Meaning he made that takana, or the takana was made in his name during the 40 years that he was learning, because he was such an advanced student, his teacher would quote him. Thank you so much for joining me. We'll be continuing on 32a, Lamed Bet Amud Aleph, with the new Mishnah discussing the Musaf service on Rosh Hashanah.
Thank you to our Pardes faculty, and thank you to you, our learners. Make sure to check back in at the beginning of each week to stay on track with your Elul learning, and visit www.pardes.org.il for more information about Pardes and our programs.